course performance, study of centimeter, millimeter band, radio handling, correlations.
Thanks. Yes, I will present other application of the FMR program, which is basically a primary application of the whole data set we are accumulating in 7 years, which is to combine the multi-frequency radio data with the gamma ray light curves. And so we are aiming at the study of such centimeter movement that radio and gamma ray correlate regularly in timing light phases. This work is done together in collaboration with the gamma and Fermi, but collaboration in particular working together with these people. So that's the work, no? Okay. I think I will mostly skip my introduction because everything was already said in the morning session. I want just to add to that that even though we have now this nice Fermi Lux data set, and many studies emerge from that, that still even was realized very early that we need a very long time baseline to really get something useful out of the light curve source correlation light curve analysis. Okay, just a very quick overview of the project I want to talk about today. So basically, we are aiming at focusing on a possible study connected to possible relations between gradient gamma ray flares and intuitive fields using 3-year long-term light curves of 60 Fermi GCD detected lasers during a detailed cross-band analysis. Our study is based on the radio side, based on the camera program and the multi-frequency monitoring, monthly monitoring data we have, at 10 different frequencies covering starting from 11 centimeter down to basically 2 meter. And from this data set, we selected the best cases of signal sources, so basically 58 1SGL sources, and we have the best sampling, best frequency and time average for doing such a cross-correlation analysis. Sample statistics as follows. We have 33 in the subsample, 33 FSRQs, 17 VLUX, 2 radio galaxies, 5 unclassified lasers, and 1 LX and 1 50948. This is just important. For the crossband study, we restricted ourselves to just four frequency bands, basically covering the whole bands from the highest frequencies, 3 millimeter to 5 millimeter, just at the moment to handle all these big. Okay, then for the gamma ray side, we have used Fermi Lux light curves from the first 3-year period starting in August 2008. We used specific time boundaries in order to match the bins of radio and gamma ray data points as good as possible. So to match basically the gamma ray bins according to the epochs observing the Ackermann programs are learning, so basically centered around the radio sample. Used some details, we used the RSP pipeline, the energy range 3.1 and 3 HP, using the power norm overall, the energy range for all sources for the moment. For the future, we want to improve the light curves, we want to switch to part 7. We want indeed to use also the more careful spectrum model range source for power norm. Several of those, we will produce also light curves on different energy bins. Okay, so just a few examples so that you get a feeling from the data set. At the top, you see the gamma ray light curve about 100 dB. And at the bottom, you see the dimension. So 3 mm in black, red is 9 mm. Is 20 millimeter and 60 millimeter. I will not say much at the moment. At that point, you see just that these are more or less good cases where we have a gamma ray event here and during that period of this particular case, an activity period in the ray event as well. Here, this is 4.3, you see nicely that there's a common activity period here. So starting this minimum period here, roughly some intense activity in gamma ray bands, while also in the gradient, also in the centimeter, this intense activity. Well, I will not show you
much more cases. I just want to point out that this is not always an easy task. It's not so easy as I showed before. Here, 0.716% shows very complicated. So it's not so clear which player here was responsible. Anyhow, so in this framework, we do study three approaches, basically. First of all, we do a statistical discrete problem loss correlation analysis. Then we do a flux-flux analysis, including all the multi-decimal times data sets we have. And third approach, we basically work directly on the light pairs. Okay, first of all, PCCF analysis setup as follows. Compute PCCFs for each of the source, where we, for all the combinations, gamma labels, radio, as I mentioned before, we following the Kulik method. Of course, such an approach has caveats, you know all that. From a statistical point of view, 3 years is already long, but we have usually only 1, 2, maybe 3 events in the light curve, so it's hard to establish correlations. The situation is more complicated because the flares are complicated, usually, particularly the gamma rays, so the times get faster. We have multiple sub-flares, so the PCFs become very broad, and it's often unclear what is correlating here with what. And another point is that we are smoothing. Unstable light curves, we know that the probability gamma rays is usually or often or fast is moving out also somewhere. Anyhow, we want, in order to get a handling on the significance of the correlation, we do a test of chance correlations, shuffling basically the light curves, so we take the radio light from one source and cross correlate it with all the available gamma ray light curves. And for that, find an upper envelope of correlation means and have confidence levels in such a situation. The time lags are, third is the estimated using Monte Carlo simulations. We fit up that now, and we apply this method to our sample, sub-sample method, Lux. Finally, also stacking of all these BCCFs.
Okay, some first results
are shown here. 3 millimeter is versus LUT. As you see, hopefully, so these are two examples. Basically, the outcome of that is that single source cases are most significant. Yeah. So these are the confidence levels here. You see the cross correlation function. And most of the cases, those examples here, we are far below. However, there are sources which are prominently correlated. And in total, we have so far 18 sources out of 58 show correlations. For this situation in general, it's clear the situation is complicated, more simple one-to-one correlations. The data set are still not long enough for most of the cases. So what we also do is to stack all the DCCFs. That here for 99% level, we obtain significant correlations. The situation is as follows. For all sources together, which you should see here, time lag we obtain 3 millimeters in 36 days. When we split that up to FSRQs here and VLUX, the situation is that the FSRQs have a correlation peak close to lag 0, and the VLUX have a lag of 1.7. You have to know that the correlation peak is pretty asymmetric towards larger lags. So that could be due to the fact that many sources have different lags, or sources have several events with a different lag contributing altogether. Okay, let me move on to 60 centimeter. So we have roughly 200 days in the day. So in general, we have the situation that we have a positive delay, so radio is lagging behind gamma. When we naturally interpret the delay as it's an absorption capacity, so positive delay means, in particular when we are observing lower, we are observing single edition instruments, at 3 millimeter, the flux is dominated by the 3 millimeter core. So basically, the gamma ray emission has to come from inside the core. The second point is you can estimate the distance, the relative distance between 86 gigahertz tau in its one surface and the emission side, also the side where the process of gamma ray emission is coming from.
Sorry for that.
So what we obtain using the delay measurements, the average measurements, using better current speeds from Mojave and other AI programs, and the viewing angles we obtain from our Doppler factors, we obtain the relative distance of less than a parsec, 3 millimeter, and about 8 parsecs. So that also means that 86 gigahertz VPI, or 3 gigahertz VPI, should be able to approach gamma ray emissions. We have to be sure that. Okay, so in the second study, we put all together all the quasi simultaneous flux pairs from the mass flux pairs over 4 to 3 years and put them together to study the flux flux correlation. This is, of course, nice because we have a huge data set in this sense. So we have about 1,000 data points to the flux flux correlation. We do that. 3 millimeter, you see this apparent nice correlation as seen in other studies, and we split up the FSRQs and the VLUX. We see that the FSRQs seem to nicely correlate, the VLUX scatter towards the lower flux flux levels, scatter more and seem to be uncorrelated. When we move through the frequencies at 9 millimeter, the situation is similar. When we move further to 15 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, it seems that the apparent correlation is basically disappearing. So basically that is what we would expect. Correlation vanishing towards lower frequencies because of opacity, because of the fact that towards lower radio frequencies we have not only the core emission but also the jet emission, pushes out things, and millimeter bands are more oscillation. That is nice. The VLUX appear mostly uncorrelated. So in the study, similar study, Leon Tavares et al. Used the 1 year flux measurement, so the flux measurement from gamma, gamma-lat, and the Rubik function. They did a similar study, and what they found is that they found the sequence of correlation strength. So they did the same, splitting up into QSOs, LBQs, HBQs, and VLUX. They found that the HBQs are the most strongly correlated ones, while the correlation disappears towards the VLUX. So in that, talking about optical correlation classes, it is naturally to explain that sequencing towards larger viewing angles, lower Doppler factors, VLUX. You can test that in our sample using viewing angles we calculated from the gamma, and indeed it is statistically significant difference between the FSRQ and the VLUX, having larger viewing. While this fits nicely, one has to keep in mind that such a study based on flux-flux measurements in the light curve or in any light curves, we are very sensitive to the common distance models. So since we are adding and adding flux statistics on the one hand, but without extending the velocity of the dynamic range. And so then use statistical methods to check the strength of correlation taking this distance by and use not the least coordinated plots in our plots. And only at 3 millimeters we find significant correlation for the relax, a marginal correlation for the emitter of hues, and the whole correlation vanishes towards the center. So we find no intrinsic correlation sequence while the frequency dependence still holds. Okay. And finally, a few words on the direct light curve anomalies. This is a setup. So in the ideal case, we have gamma ray flare, we have class radio flare, and we can find certain parameters, light curve parameters, like 1 second of the radio flare, 1 second of the gamma ray flare, time of peaks, while the DCCF analysis is only sensitive to the peaks at the minima of the light curves, this kind of study is sensitive to the relative onset occurrence of the gaps. And one can, by this, constrain by relative timing of, for example, onsets, constrain on the location. And in a shock and jet scenario, for then this time jet meter can come up with constraints of the maximum gamma ray production region, distance from the gamma ray production region, or maybe even the shock onset of the jet. However, this is the most difficult part. As I said before, we have periods, we have sources, where we have nice common activity period, like in this case here. The contrary is true for example, also the serial situation. What we can say at the moment is that the millimeter fluxes are often already rising during gamma ray flares, as you see here in this case. And the machinery is in place to contain the parameters. However, it's very difficult to do that in an automatic way. So every light curve combination has to be touched by human. In general, it's very difficult get the parameters from that, from the light curves. What one can do, that's the final thing I want to show you here, is a very simple, unbiased thing. Is what we can do, we can check if 3 millimeter flux or sources are high during gamma ray flares. We've got prominent gamma ray peaks and guilt. It is 44 hours of the data set. And indeed, 86.4% of the cases, the millimeter flux is increased compared to the mean flux. Okay, I think that's it. Since I'm already late, I need to know this. Conclusion, thanks.
So
your stacking analysis is like the source of frame? Well, the will be transformed later on into the source. But the stacking is
analysis
is
not. You'll get much of a gamma radio correlation when you go to 6 centimeters. Do you think that's because the but you do get a millimeter. Is just because of spreading out of the times, or is there also not very good correlation between, say, 6 centimeters and the centimeter level? Is a different turnover frequency?
Yes, I think it's a mix of both. That is my reason.
Okay, then we'll move on. Thanks again. Okay, the next speaker will be Amanda Dotson, a diagnostic for the permanent location of